Judgment House is probably one of the most effective ministry this church has. No doubt God has called this church to do this. And I just want to thank God for every one of you that participated, was a part of it, and think of the lives that were changed. Amen? Amen. Many lives changed, and some of these were baptized today. And so I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, everlasting. Do I need to say more? Amen. We'll just go ahead and preach the word. Amen. 2 Chronicles. And we're starting with verse 4, chapter 24. The chest of Joash. I'll give you a second. The chest of Joash. I asked the question here a couple of months ago. How many of you have ever heard of the chest of Joash? At that time, no one raised their hand. So I was surprised. And so today you're going to get educated on what the chest of Joash is all about. 2 Chronicles 24:4. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hasten it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandments of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness, or the tabernacle testimony is how some versions read it. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at that time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites. And when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord, so that the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for the reading of your word, that the Holy Spirit is always in attendance to the reading of the word of God. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to be working as we try to understand this today. Thank you for your presence we've already felt. And Lord, we as a church, we keep thanks in thanksgiving because we thank you and we bless your holy name as we will keep Christ in Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me tell you real quick how that God will use a young person. And by the way, the missionary spoke last week. Was he not awesome? I mean, I love what he had to say, that God uses all kinds of people. I didn't know that he was an accountant. Also didn't know that until after the service that him and his wife had lost a baby. And that's one reason they were here for that funeral. And I did not know what all that young man was going through. We will not have that on YouTube or nothing like that because of security, but what a blessing if you were able to be a part of that. Well, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign as king, and he reigned, the Bible tells us, for some 40 years in Jerusalem. He was a good king. The Bible says he was righteous and it was accepted by God. For 40 years, he ruled over God's people in the late 9th century BC, and he repaired the the deteriorating temple of God in Jerusalem. His collection plate was a chest, and we'll talk about that today. And you can see a picture there of a chest, if you can make that out, as they brought their giving to put in the chest. That chest was a reminder of the overdue tithes and offerings Israel should have been paying. They had got behind, and sometimes people do that. Thank God, God is a God that will allow us to get caught up, and that's what was happening here. Nobody likes that kind of reminder. If you are a believer, you have heard many times how it's a Christian's responsibility, and the Bible says it is a joy to give. If you're human, your heart probably rebelled against it, alerting you to the fact that you really don't want to give in the first place. Why is it so important that we talk about this in the church? In fact, I read this week that this is the most unpopular subject to talk about in the church. I'm glad I'm not running for anything. I'm not running for office. So why is it so important? Why make such ado about the chest of Joash? Listen carefully what I'm about to say. We want God's blessings. Amen? But we don't want to do it God's way. We want to do it our way. And somehow in our brains, we think that we know better than God. Look up here, folks. We've seen what natural disaster can do. Right here in North Carolina, we were blessed that God somehow in His grace protected us from all these storms. But there's a lot of people that lost everything they had. Now, I don't understand all that, but I do understand this. I know God's in control. I know He's on His throne, and we need to understand how important all this is. Why can't we just talk about loving God and let the money issue alone, not even deal with it? Why make such a big thing about it? Money occupies a vital role in society. What we do with our money and with which God blesses us expresses much about who we are and about our life and our faith in Him. Now, these are some facts. Would you like to hear some facts that are mind-boggling this morning about Jesus? Fact number one, in 16 of the 29, more than half, in 16 of the 29 parables or stories Jesus taught in all His preaching, it was about money. 16 out of 29. Listen to this one. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one verse in six is about money. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, one verse in six is about money. Jesus taught far more about money than He did about heaven or hell. That alone should alert us to the importance that it holds. You cannot ignore that. What we do with our money represents the resources of our life, the worship of our hearts, and our love for our God. Number one, it is a lordship matter. Number one, it is a lordship matter. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Notice the word Lord, L-O-R-D. You see in your Bible? It's capitalized. And I talked about this Wednesday night, that when you see it capitalized, it means Jehovah God. The word Jehovah means self-existing one. Listen to me carefully, church. God doesn't need us to exist. We need Him to exist. And without Him, we're nothing. But notice what he says, and he gathered together the priests and the Levites. What was that all about? Well, the Levites were of the tribe of Levi, of Jacob. And these were, this was a special tribe of people that God had called out that they might look over the spiritual welfare of the church. They handled the house of God. They took care of worship. And said unto them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hasten it not. In other words, the Levites were not doing what they were designed to do. And so Joash, the king, steps up and says, wait a minute, something's got to be done. So first of all, I want you to look at perspective. In verse 2 of this chapter 24, 2 Chronicles, notice what it says in verse 2. And Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. We must understand who is Lord here and who is servant. Can it be said of you that you do what is right in the eyes of the Lord? I'm not talking about anybody being perfect here. I know no one is. But I'm just asking, between you and God, do you do what God would have you to do concerning financial stewardship? If that upsets you, maybe it's because you have your eyes on the wrong Almighty. It could be that you have your eyes on the Almighty dollar instead of the Almighty God. And maybe that's why, especially Baptist churches, get upset when the preacher preaches about it, because we're more focused on the Almighty dollar than we are the Almighty God. If you would get more focused on the Almighty God, guess who owns all the Almighty dollars? You don't. I know you think you do. You say, well, I work. Well, who gave you the job? You say, well, it's my labor. Who gave you the help to do the labor? I mean, think about everything that we have comes from God. And we've got to understand this. You got to get the right perspective. You got to get your eyes focused on the right thing. Get our eyes focused on who owns it all. Now, you may not see all my words. This is my doing, not Jeb's. Okay? It's a matter of lordship, perspective. Number two, it's a matter of priority. And see that you hasten the matter, he said in verse 5. This is a lordship matter. Number one, because it matters to God whether it matters to you. You may be passive in your thinking right now, and you might be thinking, this don't really matter to me. This don't apply to me. Then let me put it this way. Then the blessings of God don't apply to you. In fact, you don't need to give to God because you're going to need every penny you can hold on to. Amen? Because if you think you've got this figured out better than God. By the way, who was here first? You know, who created the heavens? Who created the earth? And what has God done but allow mankind to come in and take what God has given us and use it? But we got to get our priorities right. We must understand who the Lord is and that He owns it all. It's a matter of who God is, and it matters to Him. Number two, it's a matter of urgency. We don't need to be slick. We don't need to be slow. Don't you ever think, church, that you and I can skirt around this issue. Because the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Whether you acknowledge Him as Lord or not, don't matter. He's Lord whether you make Him Lord or not. Amen. That is the priority. All right, now I'm going to get really into this. It's a matter of the heart. We've taken the thanks out of Thanksgiving. We've taken Christ out of Christmas. Many people, and I've seen it even in churches, I've seen churches store Christmas items and put Xmas because we leave Christ out. That's why we've got Xmas now. On Black Friday, this was a mind-boggling item for me. I can't believe it myself. You Google it. I did. On Black Friday alone, just American shoppers spent a record $59.57 billion in 2017. It is up now 37%. It was up 30.57 billion for this past Friday, Black Friday, to a new whopping record of $90.14 billion spent. That's today. I know y'all don't believe it, but Google it. What was very disappointing was to look at the news. And they were down fighting over a TV, over an item. And I thought, have we lost it? Have we gone crazy over stuff? Is the stuff our God? Man, our priorities are all out of order. And then we wonder, why don't God bless America? You say, well, God has blessed America. Yes, He has, but we've left Him out. We've exed Him out of Christmas. We've taken the thanks out of Thanksgiving. God help us to get our priorities. He's Lord, and it matters to Him because He knows He's Lord. You know what Lord means, don't you? It means He's the sole owner and operator of our life. It means that He owns it all. And then purposed. I want you to see this word. It's about accountability. In verse number 6, and the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not repaired or required of the Levites to bring in of Judah and of Jerusalem the collection? Who is Lord over your finances? Is it God or is it you? Jehoiada, the chief priest, was responsible for collecting this yearly offering. This was a time to redeem yourself by catching up where you had fallen behind. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, as I live, and he'll live forever, saith the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will confess me as Lord. So then every one to us shall give an account of himself to God. Now we're talking about accountability here. The purpose of the tribe of Levi, this tribe, was to take care of these matters. And there is accountability that we all have. We all are accountable to God, whether we acknowledge it or not. We must give with purpose. I'll tell you, when I got to reading this and studying it, and I don't have time to get into Athaliah, but what a liar she was, because what she did in verse 7, she took the items that were used in worship, even like this microphone that people have sung praises into, and began to use them to worship Baal, an idol god. It's a dangerous thing when we bow down. And I spent most of this year talking about the American idol and how we've given in to these idols around us. You don't think they're idols? Then you look at the news of Black Friday. Blew my mind. I'll tell you what, I didn't fall in that statistic. We had our family in. We went up and let the kids go to Monkey Joe's. And we said, well, let's go to the mall. That was a joke. And you know what we did? We couldn't even find a parking place. We just left. It ain't worth it. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul over a $5 toaster? I mean, who cares? I'm gonna save $15 to buy that $5 toaster. And it probably won't work next year. All right? And here's the thing. It's a matter of lordship. Who is Lord? And the only reason some of you right now are saying, oh, here's another preacher. You may be a guest here today. And by the way, you need to know my heart about giving. I don't believe you give just for the sake of giving. You see, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a matter of the heart, not a matter of what you think. And I want to talk about that now. It's a matter of love. It's a love matter. Giving is not a matter of the checkbook. Giving is much more personal than that. Listen to these words, Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust shall corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to talk about provision real quick, okay? It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of your love. It says in verse 8, and at the king's commandment they made a chest and set it without the gate of the house of the Lord. Love always finds a way. Listen to me carefully. God's love found a way. It was the way of the cross. What a sacrifice. Can we quote John 3:16 together, church? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I like it. I'm so glad that he provided his Son. But I want you to think about it in this way. We come to this tree and there's nothing under it. It's not our birthday. Americans think it's our birthday. How much did I say? $96 billion? We're giving to each other. But this is what I want to propose with this provision. There's nothing under that tree. That we would set aside a chest, maybe just a box, like a Christmas box, that's empty. It's got a lid on it maybe. Somebody can come up with this. The chest of Joash was provided so that people could give to God what is his. I believe Christmas is about a gift. Not a gift to each other, but a gift to him. I mean, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. We are the recipients of that gift. God's blessed us. And the provision is this, that the king made a chest, and it was an opportunity for the people of God to give. Think about it this way. Jesus crossed Joash's chest. Jesus the cross and the chest of Joash. Think about that for a minute. Privilege we have to be a part of his kingdom's work. A proclamation was given in verse 9, and they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. This was a proclamation of giving. One Bible commentator concerning this verse said this. I thought this was profound. Will you listen to me? Especially since we're involved in a building program right now. Listen to what he said. One Bible commentator said this, it is the instinct of a devout heart everywhere and always to revere the house in which God is publicly worshiped. In other words, it's the only people that would ever come up with building a building for the work of God's kingdom are people with a devout heart. So I take it that there's some serious hearts here. There's some people that must love God. They must love the souls of lost men. They must love what God loves, because the only purpose we have in building this building is to reach the lost. I had a pastor call me this week, and he said, "I'm very interested in the building that you are building." He said, "You care if we come and look at it? Our church would like to see it. We'd like to be one just like it." I got to thinking about that. What a testimony that building is. Not only that we're building it to reach our community, but that we might help another church learn how to do the same. Amen? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And he's very excited about it just because he sees this going up. And he says, "We're going to call ours an outreach center. We're calling ours a family life center because we want to reach families, and we want it's about reaching out." That's the proclamation I want to give you. But let me give you this word. The famous psychiatrist Carl Manninger had stated that one sign of mental health is the ability to release money, give it away. Think, how many generous people do you know that exhibit mental instability? It is often the stingy, controlling person who is neurotic. God created us to be healthy. One way to contribute to your mental health is to practice generosity. We give sacrificially at Christmas because we're saying, "I love you." Our hearts follow our money. They think that wherever you have a fondness, a heart affiliation, that's where you're going to put your money. That you would do that is partly true, but the truest sense of what Jesus said is that wherever your money travels, your heart is certain to follow. What should motivate you to give? Your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to get into something personal for you now, and that's participation. I'm going to say some personal things about you now. It says in verse 10, "And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they made no end." Now, I want to talk about something I think is very dear to my heart, and it should be dear to your heart too. And that is, you may not have one red cent that you can put in an offering plate, but you know what you can do? You can give your time. You can give your talent. Everybody can give something. Let me give you a great illustration, and I purposely put this down as a illustration. Thanksgiving was indeed a day of giving at Gorge Springs Baptist Church. Here is a great illustration of God's love and how money followed people's heart. A mission team of sacrificial givers prepared, served, and delivered some 297 Thanksgiving plates to people who otherwise would not have a Thanksgiving meal. I'll tell you something, that speaks volumes to this community. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the only way that that could have been made possible was a church had to work together. And it's interesting, I'm the pastor of this church, and I have no idea where the money came from to feed those 297 people, except from the pocketbooks of the people who were preparing the food and those of you who helped with that. It says a lot about this church. And so I want to give God the glory, but it says a lot about your love for God and your participation. So if you were a part of that in any way, you gave some food for it, you gave a turkey, you gave whatever you gave to help these people, and then those of you who prepared the food and those of you who delivered it and carried it, would you all stand up? Everyone who was involved on Thanksgiving Day, even if you gave something to help these people. Amen. Give the Lord a hand for that. That's a lot of people. You say, "Well, Preacher Ronnie, I wished I could have been a part of that." Well, I wish I could too. But guess what? I was at home with my family. But you were too. Now listen to me. You all were a part of it because you helped provide the facilities so that they could do that here. And I hope that by this time next year, we'll be able to do it even in a better and a bigger way. Folks, you say, "Well, I'm not a part." Yes, you are. You're part of this church. What a participation. But let me go a little further. We had 26 from our church, plus several brothers and sisters to join us to go to Charlotte and pack shoeboxes. And they did that for 8 hours. And let me tell you something about their heart. They saw it as not a work day, but a fun day. Ask Randy Hazen, what a nut. What a nut. How can the devil turn out to be so crazy? I mean, now you have to know if you're a guest here, Randy plays the role of the devil in Judgment House. But he was an angel at the Operation Christmas Child because he had a ball. You know, I thank God for people. They put their heart into it. And folks, when you put your heart into something, you don't have to worry about anything else. God takes care of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. But if that's not enough, and by the way, all of those of you who went to Operation Christmas Child in Charlotte, would you stand up? All of those involved in that, and give them a hand. Amen. They got their white t-shirts on. I like that. Amen. Thank you so much. But if that ain't enough, I mean, there was Thursday Thanksgiving. There was Friday Operation Christmas Child in Charlotte. If that ain't enough, Saturday, we ask people to show up here again, talk about participation, hanging in the greens. And I know some of them have gone over to the nursery, but there were many people involved in that. And by the way, how do we enjoy this sanctuary? How do we enjoy the work of others? Because we all were participants. We all are a part of it. So if you were a part of that in any way, would you stand up? Yesterday, Operation Christmas Tree. How's that? Amen. I know some of them have gone over to the nursery. I would ask those of you to stand up and take it down. But anyway, we'll get there later. What about your participation? It says everything about your heart. And so I want to encourage you. There are many ways we can participate. It's not all about a money and an offering plate. It's about getting plugged in and serving God. But I will tell you this. Your money will follow. Because then you'll see the last thing, and I've got to wrap this up. It's a matter of life. I said it's a matter of life. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that's where we are, and that's why I put that building up there. I really believe this church was at a crossroads of living or dying. I really do. Either we were going to move forward and obey God, or we were going to sit back and do nothing. It's a matter of life or death. If you want to write one thing down, write this down. This is an original from Ronnie Stewart. A dead church don't cost anything. A live church costs much. Amen. Yeah, a dead church won't cost anything. You know what? The easy thing to do, look up here, church, nothing. And a lot of people want to do that in the church. They want to do nothing. Not only do they want to do nothing, what they do, they want to give God the leftovers. And the Bible makes it clear that God gets very offended. We may not know this, but there's several scriptures I could give you that God became offended because Israel gave the leftovers. I'm thankful that this church did something I know was very hard for the church to do. And that was to step out on faith and put it in the hands, because we've always done things here as we were able to do it. But we put it in God's hands and we said, you know what? We're going to trust the Lord. Now, folks, this is a major step for this church, but it is a matter of life. What matters here? Well, number one, lost souls matter. Amen. Lost souls matter. And I really believe with all my heart that this building over here is going to reach lost souls. You know what? Something I did one day, I told Rich, I said, come with me. And I went throughout that building before they started hanging sheetrock. And I wrote the verse, John 3:16, for God's, and I wrote it on the metal studs in there. I mean, and then I went crazy. I wrote Jesus all over the place. I just wrote Jesus. And Rich was following me, and I didn't tell him what I was going to do. And I said, you know why I'm doing this? And here's what Rich said. He said, I guess to keep the devil out of this place. I said, exactly. I wrote Jesus all over the stuff. And then I did, because I thought of you, when I got to the kitchen over there, it's a nice kitchen. I wrote on the studs, open your mouth and I will fill it. I mean, that is a psalm. I was thinking of you because I know how you are. But anyway, what is our purpose for building that building? Lost souls matter to Gourd Springs Baptist Church. That's why we do Judgment House. And by the way, there's a lot of sacrifice here. Look at Judgment House. And coming right after that, we go into feeding 297 297. All right. I've been known to quote things wrong at times. The other week, I told you when I was 19 at my first church, I made $10,000 a week. No, it was $10,000 a year. y'all got that. Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were smart people. Anyway, notice what it says, that they put the chest of Joash there, and day after day, people gave in abundance. The ministry that enabled God to do His work, and by the way, ministry that costs nothing is nothing. It costs Jesus everything, His life. All that I'm saying, what if we give God an opportunity at Gorge Springs that by December the 23rd, we'd have this box full of abundance of giving to the Lord so that lost souls matter that we can reach. Now, here's the truth. You're not going to like this. Many folks here would agree that when it comes to giving, our eternal wealth is at stake. We're talking about eternal life here. But not everyone would agree. How do I know that? According to statistics in American churches, and this is coming from a study of all churches in America, the breakdown of giving looks like this. 20% of members give 80% of all funds. That's throughout America. I believe we're higher than that. I really do. But 20% of members give 80% of all funds. 30% of members give the other 20%. 50% of members give nothing at all. They think it just happens. You know, it blows my mind. I'm trying to do something about it. I'm working with Johnny and others. But it blows my mind that our light bill here is $17,000 a year. That blows my mind. I've never pastored a church that spent that much money in utilities. So we're going to try to cut it down. And we're trying to cut our budget so we can help give to this building. But the fact is, we've got to understand something. That it seems that it's at the least, if half the church members in America don't think it matters that they never contribute to the finances of the church, what do they expect out of it? Some people say, I don't get nothing out of the church. Well, you never put nothing in it. And that's true with a lot of people. There's a lot of people that will want to go over there and enjoy fellowship and enjoy that building, and yet they'll never give one red cent. But you know, I think about the widow. All she put in, actually, that's all she put in. Two mites was about worth a penny. She put a penny in that treasure. And you know what? Jesus was looking at it. By the way, He sees us all. He knows what we're giving. And He said, that woman has given more than all that's in the treasury. That's a mind-boggling thought. He's watching us. Number two, loving our Savior matters. Loving Savior matters. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord. We're not only going to repair the house of the Lord, we're giving out of love for the Savior that His house may stand. It was about taking care of the house of God. It doesn't matter that I don't care about the church Jesus died for, some people think. It doesn't matter that God commanded that I bring my tithes into the storehouse, this local church Jesus died for. It doesn't matter that without my tithes and offerings, there will be people who will never be reached for Christ and will go to an eternal hell. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm condemning anybody, but the facts are the facts. Do we love Jesus enough that building can be paid for? My heart is to see it paid for in 5 years. And I believe it can happen. Did you know the people that we've borrowed the money from, they've never seen a church not do that? And they've never foreclosed on a church. They only allow Baptist churches to borrow this money. Right now, I ran into the guy at the convention. I think he said 168 churches right now have borrowed money this year to build buildings throughout North Carolina. And he said, we've never seen a church not pay it back. I forget how long our loan is. I think it's 20 years. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I'd like to see it done in 5 years. And then last thing, and I'm done, lasting security matters. Verse 13, so the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in His state and strengthened it. What will last for eternity? We all know the saying, we can't take it with us. But the biblical reality is, you can send it before you. You know, I used to think that I can't take nothing to heaven. I put my offering in the offering plate today. I'm taking every dime of that to heaven. I am. Because I've invested in kingdom's work. And I have a lasting security that the money that's in God's hand will last forever. And the money in my hand won't last overnight. I mean, it just goes in and out real quick. Now all y'all are agreeing with me. Everybody's agreeing. All of a sudden, I see everybody's head. Yep. hard come, easy go. But the fact is, when you put it in God's hands, it lasts forever. Let me close with this illustration. A sailor was shipwrecked on a South Sea island. He was seized by a group of natives. They carried him shoulder high to a rude throne and proclaimed him king. He learned that according to their custom, the king ruled for a year. He got to thinking about that. Well, what happened to the other kings? The idea appealed to the sailor until he wondered, where are the other kings? Then he learned that when a king's reign ended, he was banished to a lonely island to starve to death. So knowing he was king for the year, the sailor began issuing orders. Carpenters were to make boats. Farmers were to go ahead to this deserted island and plant crops. Builders were to erect a home. And when his reign finished, he was exiled not to a barren island, but a paradise of plenty. Now that's a story that some of you've heard maybe. And yes, I do believe this. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, this place here is not our home. You know, you may have a big, nice house down here, but you may have just a little lean-to in heaven if you don't start sending something up. I got one amen from Bill. I mean, there's one person that believes in heaven here. Do we believe in heaven? Yes. Did you know heaven's for eternity? And it is a matter of eternal life to live securely. Well, I want to turn all this around. Remember the words of Jesus about how your heart follows after our money? Two realities. Throw your money into self-gratification and your heart will follow after it and all the way to a final designation of that pathway of bloated death of self-absorption called hell. That's a wide path. Commit your money to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and watch your heart follow wonderfully into a place of eternal glory. You see, the fact is this. We get upset about the preacher preaching about this, and y'all have not enjoyed this sermon today. I could tell by looking at you. But it says everything. It says everything about where our heart is. It's not about our money. No. I don't even believe in preaching about money. You say, why'd you preach about money? Because God's word said so. The chest of Joash. But here's what I believe. Wherever your heart is, your treasure is going to be. Look at your checkbook. Look at your end of the year statement that the church gives you. And if you need to get caught up, it's a good time to get caught up. This chest of Joash, I don't think has ever been done here. My oldest brother is a deacon at Midway Baptist Church. And I watched the video he showed me. And every year, they do not put in their budget to take care of the buildings or add buildings to the church. They do the chest of Joash. And every year, it's over $500,000. 700 and some people in the church, over $500,000. And they do this every year. And every building that Midway Baptist Church in Raleigh has built, they paid for it before they built it. Every building. Can you imagine what they saved in interest? They did it with the chest of Joash. That's how they do it. You can pull that up. It's on video, Midway Baptist Church. This thing works. Here's the thing about Midway Baptist Church. They're thinking about eternity. What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about the here and now? Well, Lord, how am I going to make it in retirement? Well, who's going to look after you? You? Come on, you're not doing that great a job. You say, well, I would like to see something better in my life. Well, I really believe God is better. Amen? And not only do you get to be king for a year, you get to be with the King of Kings for all eternity. Because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And so that's the way I want to give this invitation today. What about you? If you were to die today, what would, and I ask this to the new members today. If you were to stand before God right now and he was to ask you, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would your answer be? There's only one answer. Because I've trusted your son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and my Lord. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to my Father but by me. Now, I know I've went over today, but that's okay. We had baptism and some good things happened here today. And by the way, look up here. You see that water up there in that baptistry? It's paid for by Gorge Springs Baptist Church. You say, that's a little thing. But thank God for people who gave. You see that baptistry up there? God used you to build it, put it up there. You see this building here? God used you to do it. And by the way, folks, who gets all the glory? God gets all the glory. And thank God for all of you. I'm so proud that you were involved in Judgment House, Thanksgiving feast that we had here, the trip to Charlotte. So proud of the 30 people that went to that, I think with all the guests and all. And then you showed up yesterday. Thank God for our church that is involved. Let's all stand together as we pray. We're going to sing today, I Surrender All. Father, this is your invitation. I can't give it because it's not mine. Only you can save a soul. And there may be a guest here today or maybe a church member. Lord, they've struggled with this question. Why did I get so upset about things? Could it be that we've not surrendered our all to you? Are we still living in our flesh and in our strength, trying to figure life out? We're trying to be the king of the hill when there's only one king, there's only one Lord, and that's you. We're your servants, and we bow down to you at this invitation. We submit to your lordship. I pray that we'll be able to do what the Word of God teaches, that we can establish this chest of Joash, and that we can give and put Christ back into Christmas because you sent your very best. May we give our very best in giving back to you. May we surrender not some of us, but all of us, everything about us, everything from our head to our toe to our pocketbook, everything belongs to you. And as we are good stewards and managers of what you've blessed us with, Lord, the blessings you said you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out more than we could receive in abundance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.